Thanks. I'm going to talk about big data to understand spatial and temporal patterns of crop yield. So we call it big data because we're using a large data set to test, to research how and why does crop yield vary spatially and in time. So as we said, our observation come from a data set composed of 571 fields that are sparse across Midwest. The encompasses four major crops. Maize, soybean, wheat, and cotton. We obtain the data at from spatial points with yield as an attribute, and we turn them into a yield map with a resolution of 2 meters. For more than 360 fields, we had more than 3 years of yield maps. Now, you can understand how having more than 1 year of yield map is an important feature if you want to study the temporal variability of crops. The distribution of the number of years available for each field is in the first distribution graph there. You see we got some fields that got up to 10 years of yield maps, as well as the distribution of the average of the area of each field. For each of the fields, we downloaded a series of data, which includes the Landsat images. And for part of this field, we also had surface temperature and RGB images collected by a private company that was flying over the fields. However, in this presentation, I would like to focus the attention on the importance of topography and its relevance for yield stability. So we downloaded for each field a 10-meter resolution digital elevation model and meteorological data. So when we talk about spatial variability, just to put it in context, so spatial variability is just the variability in space of yield for each of the individual maps. Here is a field in Michigan over the different years and the different crops. When we talk about the temporal variability, we want to see if a point, if each of the points of the field is always on the higher end for that year or on the lower end of the year. So if it's always on the higher end, we will call it a high and stable point, whereas if every year this is at the lower end of the distribution of the yield for that year, it will be a low and stable. Whereas if it fluctuates a lot, we will call it an unstable point. This can be seen in these two maps derived from the previous one. We have on the left-hand side the yield level, so the average that each point experienced over the years. Whereas on the right-hand side, we can see the yield stability, so the standard deviations that we observe across the years for each of the points. So the higher the standard deviation across the years, the higher the instability of that point. Of course, we always normalize each map so that it is centered on zero as a standard deviation of one, so that we can make comparable the yield coming from different crops. So we came up with a very simple hypothesis to what can drive the yield stability. Of course, this is not the only mechanism, but we this is one of the possible and the one we are testing. The idea is that each field can be divided in low and stable parts, high and stable, and unstable parts. The low and stable parts are the ones that are located on the drier portions of the field, and they will always perform worse than the high and stable one, just because of a water limitation. So if we are in a situation of a wet year, which is represented on the top part of the graph, and I'm sorry, there was a problem in the PowerPoint. So in a wet year, the low and stable parts will perform worse than the high and stable. But the unstable, probably part of those of these areas that have a very high topographic index, may be waterlogged. And so the final count, the number of plants, will be lower than the other, resulting in a lower yield. Whereas in a drier year, we'll have the low and stable will still be less productive than the high and stable parts. But the unstable will perform better just because they receive more water than the other parts of the field. So this hypothesis, as we said, is quite simple, but we believe that the contribution of this study is in testing it over a large number of fields. So I'd like to provide a couple of observations to support our hypothesis. The first one will be trying to relate the topographic index with the temporal stability of the crops, and also to show that the stable portions of the relative performance of the stable portions of the field does not depend on the amount of rain received at the emergence, so in May. I will start with the first one of our observation. So here we have the topographic index that we normalized for each field on the x-axis, and the temporal variability, so the standard deviation for each point across the years, on the y-axis. You should think this one is as a cloud of points, because we plotted each individual pixel in our data set. However, for visualization purposes, we then bin them into deciles that are represented by the bar. So each bar is formed by the same amount of points. So we can see there is a positive correlation between the topographic index and the temporal variability, suggesting that points that are that have a higher topographic index are less stable. So there's a second observation. I would like to introduce one of the algorithms we are using to define the high and stable, low and stable, and unstable portions of the field. That is the we call it two-way outlier algorithm. It's very simple. It's composed of three steps. First, we normalized each yield map, as we have said before. Then we categorize each yield map into three categories. So very low for the points that were in the first 15th percentile, normal if they are between the 15th and the 75th percentile, and very high for the ones that are the top 15% of our points. Then we call unstable the points that at least 1 year were very low and 1 year were very high. And the rest, we divide them based on the average observed across the years. So with this classification in mind and done on every field, now I want to show you the second observation that was carried out on maize in states that are more traditionally rain-fed. So we can observe that the blue points and the brown points represent the stable portions of the field, respectively the high and the lower yields. The main point here is that the stable points, the relative performance doesn't depend on the amount of rain that they received. We have on the y-axis the rain of May accumulated and normalized by state. So the high one are always high, irrespective of the rain, as well as the low one are always low, irrespective of the rain. But we can see that the unstable parts, they do perform very differently, depending on the amount of rain that they receive. So the unstable, when it's a dry year, they do perform relatively better than the others. When we are in a wet year, they do perform relatively worse. So with this two observation, I would like to summarize our hypothesis and our test. That we said that using a large data set, we provided observations supporting that topography is one of the causes for yield temporal variability. And thank you for the attention.
We have plenty of time for questions. Yeah.
How many?
So, AAA, in one of his papers, he suggests using available and well-distributed rainfall for yield. Have you looked at using that or an evenness of rainfall?
Yeah, we use several indices, like also the amount, for example, of rain that was larger than 20 millimeters, for example, because maybe that's the rain that caused a larger stagnation of water. And we saw also in that case, I mean, the trend was similar, but so we used several indices also as amount of rain in the different months and also plotting how the combination of the different trains was affecting the stability. That was like the pattern that had a clear explanation to me. And yeah.
You mentioned that you looked at four crops in different fields. Were the number of fields dedicated to each crop approximately equal in number, or is there a large differential between the types of between the fields planted to each?
Right. So the maize was the most represented crop, and then we had cotton, but it was mostly concentrated only in one state. And probably that was also irrigated partly, so that doesn't respond to the same dynamics, actually. And for example, we also had wheat, and interestingly, of course, wheat didn't respond to the same dynamic as maize, because wheat is in a different phenological state in maize. So we didn't observe the same trend for wheat, for example. But yeah, maize was the most represented.
I have a question.
Sure.
So what prompted you to, I noticed that you have 15th percentile and then you have a big jump, you went to 75th percentile
right.
higher. So why yeah. you had that, why,
so
what prompted you to do that?
I think this is there is a problem of arbitrarity in defining the management zones.
Right.
So we tested several algorithms. We also tested the Blackmore, that's based on coefficient of variations,
okay.
as well as just using the standard deviation. Mm-hmm. And we used also different cuts, for example, 10% or 20%.
Yeah. You can do quarter and 50 and then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I believe that we use 15% because. Means that the trends were the same using different also of course when you go for 40% and you just leave a very narrow
right.
one for the normal
right.
you don't see the same but I believe that 15% there is a certain degree of arbitrary in the
side. Your observations will change dramatically depending on where you arbitrarily draw the line.
Totally. Yeah,
right.
yeah. So it depends also on what you want to define as stable. Further work I want to do is see if there is some non-linearities also in the trend
right.
between stability and topography, and to see if that can help us informing the cut
okay.
where to do that. Yeah.
Just add one comment that on the separation of the 15%, the biggest thing about this is the large amount of fields
yeah.
that we have over time. So
right.
That helps identifying those percentages, but also we have absolute value. What means in terms of bushels per acre, and so the farmers are sensitive to know if it is 5 bushels, they may not make the much of a difference. And so linking the percentage to the absolute value of difference is what will respond over a large data set, create some confidence to what the real percentage is. So it reduces the arbitrarity because you associate with absolute values of yield, what it means.
You're hitting exactly the same point with. There's value in statistical significance, and there's value in agronomic significance
right.
as well. Okay.
Yeah, right now, 20% of the field is unstable using this cut, for example.
Any other question? If not, thank you.
Thank you.